When you think about engineering, you might see lots of hard hats and big boots and possibly lots of men. But Lorena Basutu might challenge your perceptions of engineers. Originally from Zimbabwe, Lorena works as a project manager within transport in New South Wales, and she wants to build sustainable infrastructure that creates opportunities for women. She's just been awarded the 2022 UN Women Australia Scholarship to undertake an MBA at Sydney University, and she has some interesting thoughts about where good decisions come from and what freedom really means. Lorena Basutu speaks here with Erica Vowles.
Hello, my name is Lorena Basutu. I am an engineer who works in public transport, predominantly rail. I have always wanted to be an engineer. I wanted to be an engineer since I was 12 years old. Firstly, it was around familiarity. So my father is an engineer. He began his career as a metallurgist in Zimbabwe, and then he studied materials science engineering here in Australia. So I was pretty familiar with what engineers did, what they did in their daily life. So it was something common and not unexpected. And another thing that drew me to it was the idea that you could go into work, or at least my father went into work every day and built something, did something. When he worked in Zimbabwe, he worked for a metals manufacturer. So you could see, touch and feel with your hands, you know, the physical things that he made. You'd see things go into buildings. And I wanted to be a person who was involved in making things happen, like in particular physical infrastructure, but I wanted to be a part of a world like that. So when I moved to Naruma on the south coast of New South Wales in 2004, we had a gentleman from the University of New South Wales come in, and he was a petroleum engineer. And I thought, oh, that's so cool. I could live, you know, at sea. It'd be brilliant. I could do that. And then had lots of different experiences with going to engineering summer school, the Honeywell Engineering Summer School, where we were introduced to a wide array of different types of engineering. So it was around the time the Lane Cove Tunnel was being built, which at the time was just huge, like a magnificent transport feat. And I thought, oh, what I'm going to do instead is civil engineering. And I did a double degree in civil and environmental engineering with UNSW.
And so what's your day-to-day job like, Lorena?
So I think the typical view of, in particular, civil engineers that you might be involved in designing things, so drawings, creating things. And for some engineers, that's the case. In my role, which is more of a project management bent, I am sometimes involved in reviewing technical designs. I'm also involved in talking to lawyers and legal experts about the structure of the contracts, of the infrastructure, or in my case, trains that we're procuring and that are being built. And you could also be talking to the community stakeholders, the people who receive what engineers build and provide, to ask them, you know, does this work? Would you like this? What can we do differently? How can we engage with you and give you a solution that is most useful to you? So it's wide and varied.
Lorena Basutu is the 2022 winner of the UN Women Australia Scholarship, which will enable her to study an MBA at Sydney University. This scholarship specifically aims to increase gender equality in leadership roles across the public, private and non-profit sectors in Australia. Lorena's broader goals are to help create sustainable infrastructure that give women better access to economic and social opportunities. But Lorena says she also wants to find out different ways of thinking about problems.
The thing that I really wanted to gain, in particular with doing an MBA, was to get a diversity of thinking and a diversity of experience from other people. It's very easy to be surrounded by people who think like you, talk like you, have the same mindset to solving problems like you. And what attracted me to the University of Sydney's MBA was firstly the experiential nature of it, in the sense that you meet and talk to people who work in other industries, so healthcare, communications, logistics, and that forces you to think about problems in a different way. And I wanted to experience that. The University of Sydney's MBA, it tries to maintain a 50-50% cohort. And I'm a big believer in living my values. And I wanted to go to a school that recognized the importance of both men and women's frameworks and ideas in progressing society.
A recent survey by an organisation called STEM Sisters found that less than 40% of the STEM workforce are women, and of those, only a small percentage come from culturally diverse backgrounds. Tell me about the benefits you see that flow from different types of leadership, so from different genders and also from people from different backgrounds.
What I think is important about diversity, not just gender diversity, but also cultural and linguistic diversity, people from other places and other cultures with different ideas, is, I think, to design and build and create really good infrastructure that serves people, you need to have people who represent the people you are trying to serve on your team. And I guess a great example of this, we can already see this in last year's census. If we think about the general makeup of Australia now, more than half of us has a parent who was born overseas, about 48%. And if we think about what the average person, the typical Australian is today, or as of 2021, it's a millennial woman whose parents might have been, probably at least one of them, born overseas, who's in their 30s. So without a doubt, it is important to have a diversity, or at least a representative diversity of our society in those leadership positions, so that we can develop and create infrastructure that serves the people that we're trying to serve. I think that's critical.
Because if we come from different backgrounds, different life experiences, we approach things in a different way. Is that something that you feel you bring to the work you do as a project manager in New South Wales, working within transport, and as you've said previously, as the only, often the only Black woman on the team?
Absolutely. I think one of the most important things that I've tried to bring into it is an understanding about the communities we serve. For example, the solution to a particular problem in one community might be actually quite different to a solution that will work in another community. And maybe this is better illustrated by an example, a very simple example, which is from where I'm from, which is Southern Africa. One of the key problems that governments in Southern Africa are trying to tackle today is to get more girls into schools, especially in remote and rural villages. And if you do not live in the place, the lens you might take is, what we need to do is we need to build more schools closer. We need to make it mandatory for girls to go to school. You can have a number of solutions, but something that might be a powerful solution suggested by someone who is of that place and lives there might be, the real problem we have is that we need girls to go out and fetch water of a morning so that we have water to drink, to cook, to water our livestock in the day. And perhaps the most powerful solution to that problem is to build a well at the school, which means that a girl can go to school, fetch water, get an education, and come home. So the way I try to think of it, and this is an example that is, I mean, not only in Zimbabwe, but in many, many other villages, where it's important to have people who think differently or who've experienced different things, because they may be able to articulate the problem in a different way that could provide a very clean, beautiful, simple solution that achieves the outcome you want.
Lorena, in Zimbabwe, you're part of the born free generation, so those born after 1980 when the country gained independence. Tell me about some of the messages that your generation received about the opportunities that you would have that previous generations didn't have, and what kind of realisations you had when you came to Australia.
Freedom means access to your freed potential. So things that we take for granted today, like the idea that you could go to school, this was not a given for my mother, for my aunts. The idea that you could open a bank account, you could walk around freely, you could be anything that you wanted to be, that was not a thing. So some of the messages I got growing up was to appreciate that freedom for me, for people of my generation, is something that is not a birthright. It is earned. It is off the back of the work of your ancestors, your forebears, those who go before you, because for them, they were not guaranteed that freedom, and neither are you, and it's your responsibility to maintain that. What moving to Australia taught me was freedom without access is, to a certain extent, not as meaningful. So in Naruma, when I moved here, I remember catching a free school bus to a public high school, and I could not even conceptualize the idea that one could catch a bus and not pay to go to school, because it is inconceivable for me that you would not have to pay some fare, some fee in order to access an education. And I think that sort of triggered a mindset shift in me, that the idea that we as a society can build in structures that just inherently equalizes us. So that means it doesn't matter where you were born, how much money your parents earn, where they're from, how great their English is, you, in at least New South Wales, can catch a bus and go to school and begin where everybody else begins in terms of access to education. And I think that is an especially, for me, that was an especially powerful, powerful message to me, that we as a society have a responsibility to enable people to have access to things.
When it comes to enabling change in society, within Lorena's extended family, she has a powerful role model who fought for equal pay in the 1970s and won.
My mother-in-law is super exceptional, super cool. She was born in Botswana, and Botswana was a protectorate which became independent in the 70s. So she had left Botswana before independence. She had been a refugee, so she left home alone and she traveled across Africa as a refugee and studied in the United States and came back. She came back to work in the public service. And, you know, as a legacy of colonialism, the public service had a pay structure which was a woman would get paid 5/6 of a man's salary, which was incredible. I mean, my mother-in-law had studied in America. And this, she was like, what do you mean? Is this a joke? And she challenged this notion because she was confused. She was like, why would I be paid 5/6 of a man's salary for the same amount of work? And the feedback she received was, well, obviously you are a woman in your prime. Without a doubt, you will get married. I'm sure your husband can keep you. No joke. This was the narrative. But I think what's important to note in a sort of structural sense is that at the same time, because this rule was a colonial legacy, there was a consultant. He had come from another country and he was reviewing the entire public service policy. And he put forward a report that sort of said, like, this is ridiculous. One must get paid an equal amount for equal work. And he sort of stepped up and advocated with her on behalf of her and on behalf of others. And ultimately, the entire policy was changed. So she got paid equal pay for equal work. But this was in the 70s. And obviously, the gender pay gap, the inequality there was a sort of codified policy sense. But of course, we here today, even in Australia, there is still a gender pay gap. So we still have some ways to go at fully realizing equality in that sense.
And Lorena, in addition to working as a project manager in New South Wales in transport, you've done volunteer work with Engineers Without Borders. I'm interested about how the experience of volunteering, how it shaped you, what you've gotten out of it.
I think I've gotten a couple of things out of it. I think I've learned the importance of working on a team in a thing that is not about making money, is not about my job or my profession, but something wholly that speaks to impacting my community. So that's really important. The second thing I've learned is that the really good projects, the things that change people's lives, are done when you listen to the people whose lives you're trying to change. I can't stress enough what I've learned about local-led, local-run projects. So I think that's what I've learned. The importance of getting involved, joining something, join anything, big or small. It will enrich your life and the friends you make and what you learn about working with other people, what you learn about other people, period. And also remembering that most problems are best solved at a community level.
Lorena Basutu, a project manager and civil engineer within New South Wales Transport, the recipient of the 2022 UN Women Australia Scholarship. She was speaking with Erica Voles.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.